But the scripture he gave me for today is, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. I just want to give you an understanding of, I believe, where he wants us to go. There is always going to be somewhat of a war that goes on between the soul and the spirit. They fight each other. And, you know, sometimes I'd like to see the fight be less than what it is. It would be a little more comfortable to follow my spirit. And I think the results would be that we wouldn't see just blossoms on those trees. We would see fruit. But you can't change the other person. And I've also learned you can't even change yourself.
Amen.
So you're at the mercy of the one who began the good work as you release yourself. Now, St. Paul, when you study a little bit about what's going on at the Corinthian church, they are getting kind of a progress report by this chapter 10. And he's really after their case to obey. And each time I've learned to obey, I think I get back on that elevator. And I go back into the heavens. But each time I sit back and try to figure it out on my own, I'm really back on that desert space, not accomplishing a great deal. And it's very dry in the desert corner, and nothing grows. He has been pressing to make me aware and pressuring me that verse 6 says, we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. So there's a responsibility to complete our obedience when we get instructions. But what causes fights and quarrels in James 1, I believe, has got basically the same message. What causes quarrels and division among you is me defending myself. Mm-hmm. Me finding the solution, and then I want it to be imparted to those that I see struggling. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I see them struggling and I'd like to give them a kick in the adjustment place, mm-hmm. but it doesn't work. But my heart and my mind is on a godly attitude to lift them up. But if you lift them up with your foot, it's going to be dangerous for you. So encouraging them, readjusting how you think about them, is going to make a change in your atmosphere. When the atmosphere of peace is in your area, what happens to you?
You have peace and joy. And
it's comfort. Contagious. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a year that my wife's girlfriend's husband passed away. Or it is a year, I'm not sure it's exactly. I think it's just about now. But about a week and a half before he died, he had a dream. And he didn't tell me about it, but his wife did. And it related to me. I was in the dream. He didn't call me by my first name. He called me by my whole name in the dream. And it kind of stunned me. Why would this man that claims very little knowledge of the Lord, religious background, yes, war games through a whole bunch of circumstances, yes, but he even related to his wife that when Irene and I were there, that there was something different that would happen in his room. And it's not something that, you know, you want to advertise because it's not all about you. It is, however, about the spirit of grace that is in that room when you're there. And the light that's within you and the life of Christ that's in you is radiating from you. And I can say that the darkness wants to create a problem and bring despair and keep you from speaking what's in your heart. I can remember anointing him with oil on many occasions during the hospital stay, the nursing home stay, etc., etc. But being conscious of the impact of light coming into his particular area of darkness made an assurance to me that there was a change that had taken place because of my presence and my wife's presence. Amen. What you don't know is this. Quite a few years ago, I would say maybe 10 or maybe a little more, his oldest son got into trouble in New York State. He was getting older and did not want to go to the jail where his son had been incarcerated because of a car accident, etc., or a truck accident. It was a pickup truck that he had that he borrowed from his dad. Long story short, I remember him and I having heart-to-heart conversations because there was a lot of driving involved. And he didn't trust himself to drive all the way up there under an emotional situation. And it's not all about that I want to bring things out. What it is about is that I saw the lack of faith. I saw my walk with God compared to his walk by himself. I saw him looking at his sons, two, of which we have two. Both of them, he would want to change them. But you can't. I remember driving towards Ludlow one morning, several weeks after all that experience in New York State, which lasted a couple days. And we did get to spend some time with his son, got to anoint him with oil, declared the word of the Lord to him, gave him some literature, etc. And you don't know what's going to happen to a seed. All you can do is water it. So as I said, I'm driving in Ludlow. They're both in my heart, the son and the father. And I heard my mouth say, "Father, I'm claiming that family for you." Sometimes you don't know the prayer you're releasing and the cost it's going to be. But I did claim all four of them. And I said to the Lord, "I don't care what it costs, I just want them in. Whatever we need to do to get them into the kingdom, you use whatever you want." But that is a kind of a dangerous prayer.
Yes, it is.
But you see, they had been tied to my heart because of the hopelessness of this dad. And God uses my emotions just like he does yours. And I believe St. Paul was upset with the Corinthians. And he's trying to make them accountable to their particular commission. And I think he's trying to do that with us here. That's why he keeps showing us the choices of some people. We may touch them. We may bring them to a blossom, but no fruit. That was pretty intense. Okay? You can bring them into the truck, and they can hold on to the truck for a while, but then they drop off, because why? I can never really go up into that heavenly realm where they are because I can't hold on. I don't have the equipment. I don't have the ability. I don't have the fruit. And we, as believers, need to continue to hold them up before the Lord. Not to give up on them until their obedience is complete. Have you and I completed our obedience? Not all the time. Sometimes my emotions get the best of me, and I get upset, and I shake my head and say, oh my God, Lord, we failed again. You said there was a new season opening up. I believe you've repeated the same thing, right?
New levels.
New level, new season, same idea. What you don't know, neither one of you, is when I left my house this morning, I was a little earlier, which was cool. I love to be early. Don't like being late.
Amen.
Never did. I think Amen. That's part of my dad's fault. He probably Amen. Would have readjusted my rear end if I did come in late.
Amen.
Okay? Just the way it is. His example, his pressure tactics, kept me in tow.
Amen.
My mother's love kept me in tow, but I could get away with almost anything. But not with Dad. Left my house, went on Bridge Street, took Springfield Street. And you know, you can have a glimpse of something, and it's only a fraction of a second.
Yep.
But it awakens something in you. Now, I'm going back many years. But the glimpse was of the Chicopee River right behind my house. And I'm driving, so obviously there was no time to linger. But I did see it. Instantly, within a fraction of a second, an atomic moment. An atom brought back into my life. My trip into the heavenlies, which was prophesied by a woman of God, Kay Pelagiot at the time, said I would be going on a trip in the heavens. I would not remember anything that he told me or showed me, but I would remember the trip back. And it was not to be remembered because obviously he knows about my big mouth, so that I would probably spill the beans way too early.
Amen.
Thanks a lot.
I'm Mr. Green, because I got a big mouth too. I get it.
And instantly I had an awareness what took place and what he downloaded into me and into my spirit back in the 90s is going to come alive now. That's the new season. Something that he gave to me or imparted to me or told me or showed me, because I don't know any of it. But I believe it's going to activate. And it's sparking to life even as I speak. Because I didn't expect to go there. Because my emotions get in the way. So, you know, it's connected to my dad going home. It's connected to his abilities to do in the natural realm what he could not do in his body. Mm-hmm. Because you see, when you're freed up and you don't have this body, you don't have the torment of the old shoving you from left to right and right to left and trying to keep you off track. Your spirit being then is in full obedience to what the Father has prepared for you to do. Because it's not all about this journey in here. It's a lot about the journey that will continue, because you're eternal beings. When you think that you're just a natural man or a natural woman, get a clue, you're not.
Amen.
And I don't know what's next, but I do know that we're not going to do it without him. I also know that there's been a struggle that has been seemingly endless for some, waiting for the breakthrough. Yes. That breakthrough angel man is here. And he is on the job, and he is breaking down your old ways of thinking. Mm-hmm. And your bunch of excuses that you aren't worthy or qualified enough to make it to the finish line. What I can say to you is, at the time that this war was on, and that I did take that trip and I entered back into my body, there was a dramatic change because of the recollection of the flight. Hear me when I say this, darling, it was a flight. A few weeks later, after that experience, I'm at my mother's house. I'm sitting with some family members. I don't remember who's there. It's not important. But my mom, having very little knowledge of what I had gone through, sitting in her rocking chair, looks out the back door window glass, actually overlooking the Chicopee River, and she yells, "Oh my God," she says, "there's an eagle up there." And I said, "Mom, come on." Okay? And I mean, I'm looking out the same window and I can't see nothing. Zero. Okay? Finally, she says, "It's right there." And she's pointing right at it, and I can't see it. And now I begin to pray in the spirit, because I figured, you know, I'm missing out here. I am missing out. There's an eagle and sitting in over that river. He's on a branch. She's explaining it to me. But the way that he was sitting, he was so well hidden, you couldn't see him. So I took my camera, after I saw it, went around the house, and went back of the garage and took some pictures of him. And then the minute I snapped that on the camera, he took off. And what did he do? He did exactly what I had done. He flew down towards me, and then he shifted right towards my window, which is across the river on the other side. So he confirmed my flight in the natural way that I could not run from it. A few months ago, somebody else meddled with me. That one. That one. The one with the red outfit there. And I won't go into the vision, but I will remember very clearly saying the eagle has landed. See, you can fly in the heavens and never come down, because the wonders of an eagle is he can just lock his wings and fly. But now the eagle has landed, meaning he's in the earth, he's doing a work. Is he me? I'm not me. There is a work going on by his spirit within me. No different than you. How do I demolish every argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God? By pulling down the mindsets that I've lived under. The ugly thought patterns that I've never had value in my own eyes. That I could never qualify, no matter how much work I did to make myself holy, I would still see my flaws. You say, Kim, how can that be of God to pull those down? That's what keeps you humble. BS. It's your reliance on the Lord's ability to clean you up that is real humility. It's not you trying to clean up your own act under a religious demon.
Amen.
Because the more you try to clean yourself up, the more hopeless you become. Because he'll prove to you, and I mean he, the enemy, the thought patterns will remain. And you'll see yourself heading towards the darkness instead of towards the light. And you'll say, oh my God, I'm hopeless. And that's exactly what he's waiting for you to confess. So that the blessings that he's promised to you for your obedience, it's not your obedience in the natural. It's your obedience under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, claiming what Jesus has already paid for you. Mm. Claiming your righteousness, claiming your holiness, and continuing to walk when you don't see maybe the perfection that you would like to see. Or your reactions in a godly way when, and in the storm, you're just going in the wrong direction. Mm. By the way, I'm preaching. I noticed it. Yes. Verse 2, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. The standards of this world is perfection under the anointing of flesh. Under a religious demon that says, stay holy. You are so holy. Oh my God, look at how actions and reactions and how holy they are. Verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons? We fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Strongholds are thought ways, ways of thinking, ways of reacting. Not of God. Pulling those down is not always comfortable because they are where you've lived with. How you've lived with. And survived with and overcome to a degree. Pulling down those strongholds is a part of your commission from God. And that is something that it may not be comfortable to do. And I'll give you an example. You have an instruction from the Lord. You carry it to the third degree or fourth degree or whatever. And all of a sudden you fail. So you figure it's almost like going to school. You got an F, so you got to take the whole thing all over again. Right? That's what you've been taught. Was it godly thinking? No. He says, I'll be with you as many times as you need to go around the mountain until you get an A+. If you did that to the teachers that brought you up through school, they would have never failed you. They would have just recycled you. Right or wrong? So the Lord does not throw anybody away. He recycles you. He allows you to go back and see what you did wrong the first or second or fifth or 100th time or 1,000 times.
1,000,000.
Amen? He does not give up. He's waiting for you to ask for more grace, which is humiliating. Oh, I thought, he's probably so fed up with me. He's probably so tired of me. See, reasonings? All that's got to be pulled down. And make it obedient to the anointing. The anointing never gives up on me. The grace never gives up on me. He'll give me a second dose and a fifth dose and 1,001 dose. Whatever I need to make it to the finish line. And that's when he gets excited over us. St. Paul says, I boast of my weaknesses. Ha ha. Yeah, sure. Boasting of my weaknesses? And I could take you to there, but I'm not going to. Boasting of your weaknesses is a place where he now sees that he's never been able to do it on his own. And out of his weaknesses, he knows the Holy Ghost will take him to the finish line. I want you to put your Bibles down. You're going to be getting up in a minute. While you're getting yourself ready, I want you to listen to this word. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to the anointing. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Once my obedience is complete, what is he looking for? He's looking for me to humble myself and to say, I can't do the next level. I can't do it on my own. So come on up.